your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, July 21st, 2021. Your boy Q here with you as always. You know you can find me on Twitter, at your boy Q254. And of course, got that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line wide open like some old school TV antenna, 707-654-4693. Coming up on today's show, segment number three, I will get to some calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Didn't have any on Tuesday because I had the Marcus Allen interview on there that I did on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Monday. And Raider Nation, I did have an interview with Hall of Famer Tim Brown on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday. So not only are you going to get some calls and texts coming up in segment number three, you're also going to get the conversation with Tim Brown from Tuesday's Raider Nation Radio 920 show in the huddle, as I'm still filling in for Vinny Bonsignor. You're going to get that, matter of fact, in segment number two and segment number one. So that's going to come up on the show as well. But before I get to the beginning of the Tim Brown conversation, I did want to pass along a few news and notes along the way. Just have to do with the NFL, and one was a bad piece of news, or an unfortunate piece of news as far as the Rams are concerned. Running back Cam Akers tore his Achilles. He's out for the season, and he's a running back with a lot of ability. You know, that's a big blow for the Rams, and unfortunately, we're going to see a lot more of this once camp starts. And if camp is officially opening up as of today for the Cowboys and the Steelers, they're the two teams that are going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game. Everyone else, including the Raiders, they open up next week. But we will see a lot of injuries like that, a lot of season-ending injuries, and really one of the parts of training camp that you just hope for as you see your team compete and get out there and try to get better and better as the season gets ready to get started. You want them to be as healthy as possible. An unfortunate blow for Cam Akers and the Rams. This is when guys like Adrian Peterson and guys that are still out there available will start to get signed, and you'll see this across the league. So unfortunate for Cam Akers. Hate the fact that he went down. And on Monday, and I didn't get to this because again, was talking about Mark Bedain and was talking about the Marcus Allen interview. Melvin Ingram, a guy who used to play for the Chargers, played in Gus Bradley's scheme. He signed a one-year deal with the Steelers. He's a guy that a lot of Raider Nation was hoping that the Raiders would sign as far as another pass rusher goes. Well, apparently he had interest from the Chiefs and the Dolphins and, of course, the Steelers. He ultimately signs the deal with the Steelers. So, I mean, there it is. There it was. Not a whole lot of news. Again, training camp opening up for the Cowboys and the Steelers, and that's about it. And the Hall of Fame, I've put in a credential request for that, so hopefully I'll be on my way to Canton if that does get approved. Definitely want to be there to cover Tom Flores and Charles Woodson and Wayne Mabry, the Violator, all representing the Raiders going into Canton, Ohio, the Hall of Fame. Hopefully that happens, but first I got to get that credential approved, so I'll let you know when that happens. Also, longtime Raider safety Van McElroy is supposed to be joining the show later on today to talk about winning a ring under head coach Tom Flores, as he was his coach. He has he's a ball hawking safety, or was a ball hawking safety for the Raiders, 30 plus interceptions in his career under his belt. So want to talk to him about a whole lot of things, including playing the safety position, including playing for Coach Tom Flores and what he meant to him. So I think Van McElroy is going to join the show today. I'm going to believe about 4:30 Pacific Standard Time he should join the show. That's the goal and that's the plan right now. He confirmed, but then we never really locked in a time, so I'm still waiting to hear back from him on that. So that's really all the news and notes I have for you. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump into part one of my conversation that I had on Tuesday on Raider Nation Radio 920 with the Hall of Famer Tim Brown. Welcome back to In the Huddle here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Your boy Q here filling in for Vinny Bonsignor. And right now, pleased to have on the phone line Hall of Famer, wide receiver from the Silver and Black, the Raiders. That is wide receiver Tim Brown. And Tim, thank you so much for your time. We definitely appreciate you. We're getting excited about the battle for Vegas. Of course, it's going to be the Raiders team, Marcus Allen, versus the Golden Knights team, Riley Smith. How excited and pumped up are you to compete in this event on Saturday?
Man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to playing like deep, right? Way back there by the fence. So that's where I'm going to be. So make sure no balls come at me too hard. But But it should be fun. Looking forward to it.
You know, we had Marcus Allen on, and of course, he's the team captain. We had him on Monday, and he was saying that he was ready for you. He said he was really good at baseball, and he said, I don't know. I know Tim's very competitive. So as far as the softball game goes, how competitive are you, especially when it comes to being at bat?
Hey, look, I'm going to be as competitive as my hamstrings allow me to be. So let's just keep it real. No, man, I am looking forward to it. It should be a fun event. So hopefully it's not 120 degrees there. So we'll be able to get through it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And the good thing is it's at night. The Las Vegas ballpark is a lot of fun. It's a great venue, so I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun there. But, I mean, just – The Raiders are in the community here in Las Vegas. They've been very active in being in the community, and this is another one of those events. How important is it for this team, the Silver and Black, to be very, you know, busy in the community?
Well, you know, it's really, and I'm going to say this in a positive way, it's really unlike the Raiders for the most part. You know, I think when I first got there in L.A., it wasn't something that was high on the list. And even when we moved back to Oakland, there was so much animosity between the city and Mr. Davis at the time that it was tough to really get things done. I mean, I was doing things in the community, but it really wasn't. The Raiders did have a golf tournament that they did up there, but you know, I think once they got to Vegas, it's sort of like the all the pressure has been released, man, and they feel as if they can go and really be the organization that they've always wanted to be. And so seeing them doing some of the things that they've done is just really incredible. And you know, really, that's what they should be doing, right? They have the means to get it done, and they have the people to get it done. So I'm very happy about everything that's going on.
Absolutely. Talking right now with Hall of Fame wide receiver Tim Brown here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And, Tim, I mentioned the Hall of Fame a couple times. You have the gold jacket. It took a little bit longer than you would like, than a lot of Raider Nation expected it to take for you to get that gold jacket. But now Coach Tom Flores, Charles Woodson, Wayne Mabry, the Violator, all going into the Hall of Fame this upcoming year. How special is that, especially for Coach Tom Flores, who's waited a very long time to get in there?
Yeah, you know, it's great, man, to see Coach get in. And obviously everybody knew that Wood was going to be a first ballot guy. You know, the Wayne, man, Wayne Mabry, you know, having him go in is obviously just great for Raider Nation, man. I think Raider Nation has always been recognized as being one of the, you know, the greatest fan bases out there. And this sort of solidifies that. But, yeah, you know, look, I mean, we've got a couple situations where, you know, Cliff is going to get in, no doubt about that, but he's not here. And the unfortunate thing to happen, you know, with Stabler, you know, a few years back, you know, where he goes in. And, you know, so all those kind of things, man, you know, you want guys to get in, but you want them to be able to see it and be able to accept those roses, man. So I'm happy for Coach Flores. I thought he ain't about to die or nothing, y'all. I'm not trying to say that. But, you know, I'm just happy, man, that he'll get the opportunity to stand in front of that crowd and receive that ovation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally understand what you're saying because, I mean, again, you waited longer than you should have had to get into the Hall of Fame. And I know that's frustrating. I talked to you many times on Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and I could see the frustration and then the relief once you finally got in. As you were preparing to set up for your speech for the Hall of Fame, what goes through your mind when you're trying to put all those words together in your mind as you prepare for the Hall of Fame?
You know, for me, I just wanted to tell a story, you know, of my journey and how I got to where I was standing at that particular moment. It may have taken me a few minutes longer than what I anticipated it taking me, you know, but, you know, you really want to get the story over. And I don't think my story was just about football. You know, I really think it was about the people that I had the fortune of meeting and being able to work with. And especially coaches like Coach Oates and Gruden, you know, really they really changed the way I played the game. You know what I mean? So I think from that standpoint, I was very fortunate. Otherwise, I think I would have just been a great athlete in the league, not really accomplishing anything. You know, but what Coach Oates did at Notre Dame led me to win the Heisman, and what Gruden did when he got to the Raiders led me to be in the Hall of Fame.
And, you know, last time we talked, we were talking about a former first-round wide receiver in Amari Cooper. He had just been traded to the Dallas Cowboys. Now the Raiders have another first-round wide receiver in Henry Ruggs. He had his rookie year last year. It was kind of a weird year for everyone across the league, but not the production that Henry Ruggs was expecting, not the production that the Raider Nation was expecting. How does Henry Ruggs, in your opinion, take that next step? What does he have to do this offseason and in training camp to be able to kind of solidify his spot as being the number 12 overall pick?
Well, look, and this is no excuse for Henry Ruggs. I'm sure he'll tell you that, you know, there may have been a couple plays he could have done better, whatever. But knowing that offense as well as I do, I can't imagine being a rookie coming into the league. And guess what? You don't even have a chance to do mini camp in a real training camp because of a pandemic that's going on. So basically, we just go stick you on the field and say, go do it, man. It's really, really unfair to judge him off of what happened last year. I actually think he played, you know, very good football, a decent football for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this year you have, you know, full training camps, you're going to have full training camps, you have mini camps and all that stuff. You're going to see a different guy because now, you know, he's not going to be guessing about what he has to do. He's going to know what he's supposed to do. He may have known at first as man-to-man, but not cover four, not three, not right. Two. You know, it's hard to know all those things, man, if you're not being taught. So, I think from that standpoint, I think we all are going to be waiting to see, but I'm sure we're going to see a guy more explosive than he was last year and more sure about everything that he's doing in the football field.
So there it is. There it was right there. Part one of my conversation with Touchdown Tim Brown, the Hall of Famer, talking all things about the Battle for Vegas, the charity softball event going on Saturday. Very excited about that. Excited about batting practice and being able to go check that out on Friday because I'll be able to talk to all the Raiders, all the players that are going to be involved in the game on Saturday. Going to have a chance to talk to them. Not a long time, but still have enough time to be able to get something from probably each of those guys. So I'm excited about that, but excited about the game as well. And Tim Brown was a really fun conversation, and that's only part one of the conversation that you just heard. Part two is coming up in segment number two, and then segment number three, as mentioned before, get calls and text straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. But before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sporting action. Baseball season, that's one of the main focuses right now. The All-Star break is over, and of course, all the games are going on right now. The NBA season is a done deal. Done deal records. The Milwaukee Bucks are your champions as they defeated the Suns straight. Four straight wins after being down 0-2. Now the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis, the MVP, got to give him a lot of credit for really coming through like the first of the month after looking like he was going to be out for the rest of the series with a major, major injury. But him and the Bucks come through. They are your champions. The UFC, they got something going on each and every weekend. So before your next pitch or home run, knockout or submission, make sure you head on over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Get off the sidelines and get into the game. Again, head to the website on your mobile device, sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, got to use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's the only way to get the 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. Segment number two, part two of my conversation with Tim Brown is coming up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part two of my conversation with Touchdown Tim Brown from Tuesday's Raider Nation Radio 920 Inside the Huddle, as I was still filling in, or I still am filling in, actually, for Vinny Bonsignor, who's on vacation. So I've been doing the 4 to 6 p.m. show. Eventually, I'll rotate and move back to my position, 2 to 4 p.m. Unnecessary Roughness will be my show starting on Monday. But here was part two of my conversation with Touchdown Tim Brown, talking all things Raiders. Talking to the Hall of Famer Tim Brown right now on Raider Nation Radio 920. Got the Battle for Vegas coming up on Saturday at Las Vegas Baseball Ballpark, and we'll give out some tickets to that a little bit later on in the show. And Tim, as far as John Gruden's offense, a lot of folks talk about it and say, and you even mentioned, like, knowing the offense as well you do, it's hard for a rookie. What do you feel was the biggest hurdle to get over to understand what Coach Gruden is trying to do out there on the field?
Well, you know, the biggest hurdle is you have to take yourself out of the play and just do what the play wants you to do. And don't try to add an extra to it. Until you get the ball in your hands, don't add any extra to the play. And that was a very difficult thing for, you know, I mean, we were 31, 32, 33 when he got there. And, you know, Jerry came over, and, you know, Jerry was 36, 37. You know, it was hard to make that adjustment because, you know, so many times in years past, if you didn't adjust that play some kind of way, it wasn't going to work.
Right.
But in Gruden's offense, you don't have to adjust it. I mean, you know, the way he lines things up, man, it's like five on a dot, right? And in some kind of way, you're going to get that. So if everybody gets to their spots, then the quarterback will have somebody to throw the ball to. So, and it took a lot to learn that, man. It really did. And so, but once you learn that, man, once you, hey, Tim, be there. Don't slide. Don't move. Just be there. Because if you're not open, the guy behind you is going to be open. And those are things, man, that take a lot of discipline to make happen. And we were older guys. We were veteran guys in the league.
Right.
We're dealing with a lot of young guys now, man. So I think from that standpoint, you know, hopefully it'll start to kick in.
One guy who's very dynamic, and he's not technically a wide receiver, but tight end Darren Waller, he's actually going to be on your team, on Team Marcus Allen on Saturday. I mean, this is a dynamic dude, one of the best tight ends in the league, really a wide receiver in a tight end's body. What are your thoughts on him and how big of a playmaker he's become?
Man, I tell you what, man, it's really amazing what this kid is doing on the field, man. And, you know, if I am Ruggs, if I'm Edwards, man, I am lynching onto his coattails, man, and I am trying to make this thing happen for myself by, just playing off of him. You know, if he had a number two right now that was solid, man, that offense would be unbelievable. So it can't be a combination of Edwards and Ruggs. One of these guys really has to step up and show themselves as being, you know, the number two to him. And it's going to benefit them.
Right.
You know, because he's going to open up so much for you with his ability to stretch the field and do the things that he does that, man, if these guys can step up and be consistent and you know, teams watch films in fours, right? You watch four games. So you have to be consistent for four games before the team is really going to take you serious.
Yeah.
And you have a great game here, then you don't do anything for 2 weeks. You know, they just count it as what it is. You have one great game, and that was it. So, hey, look, you know, you never want to go ahead and say, I want to be the number two. But when you have a guy like Waller, you're going to be the number two in that offense. That's just all it is to it when it comes to the passing game.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up Bryan Edwards. That was a guy that I wanted to ask you about, third-round pick out of South Carolina, and because of injuries, really could have been drafted a lot higher. And he didn't get a lot of action in 2020, but he did get one touchdown catch at the end of the season, week 17. And I'll tell you, Tim, I saw him catch the ball with his hands like vice grips. He's got the speed. He's got the size. He runs violent. How good and dangerous can he be if he can just kind of put it all together?
Man, I'm telling you, man, when I first saw him play, I was like, who is this kid and where did he come from? You know what I mean? I mean, this is the kind of kid that can really change an offense for you because he may not be a burner, but if he can run those five-yard slants and run those, you know, those 12, 15-yard in routes and open up things over the top, you know, make that safety have to think about him over the middle, and now we can get Ruggs over the top or even Waller over the top. It's a beautiful thing, man. Take it from me. I know. It works.
I know that's right.
you just have to be consistent, man. That's the name of the game. If they can just find a way to make this thing happen for a few weeks in a row, it'll change the whole dynamic of the offense because people will start playing them different because they know they have to look at more than one guy.
Absolutely. We're talking right now with Tim Brown, Hall of Famer Tim Brown here on Raider Nation Radio 920. And just got a couple more questions for you. I wanted to ask you, I talked about the fraternity that is the Hall of Fame, and that's special. But being a member of the Silver and Black and being once a Raider, always a Raider. We just saw Mark Bedane. He resigned yesterday. But, you know, the tagline always once a Raider, always a Raider. What does that mean to you?
Well, it means everything, man. You know, I think for years in the league, we were, you know, not respected. We felt like, you know, and felt like the league was up against us, the referees was up against us. You just feel like, man, you always having to fight a little extra harder to get a win, you know. So, you know, I think from that standpoint is where that family atmosphere is really born because, I mean, you have to lock it in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw the Tech game. We saw...
Yeah.
You know, even what happened in the AFC Championship game in 2000, where it was a legal hit on Gannon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was gone no matter what, but we should have at least got a penalty after the deal. We couldn't even get that. So,
right.
you know, it's just one thing after another that you have to deal with, man. So there's abundance there that's different, man. You know, look, I'm around Cowboys all the time. I'm around 49ers all the time. They don't talk like that, and they've won multiple championships. You
right,
know? So
right.
It's just a really different thing, man. It's probably because of, like I said, all the you know, all the negativity we have to deal with. But at the same time, you know, you got a lot of buddies, man, for the rest of your life, and that's a beautiful thing.
Right, absolutely. And you mentioned the Tuck Rule game, and that's one that always is going to be just a what if. But Tim, I always say that so much of football history changed because of the outcome of that game and the way that that game shook out. I mean, just the organization with the Raiders, how much different do you think history would have been if that game hadn't been called so poorly?
Man, you know, it's hard to say, right? Because I don't think Gruden leaves.
Right.
You know, I don't think that happens. So he can't win a championship at Tampa Bay
right.
if he's with the Raiders.
Right.
So, you know, those are the kind of things that drive you crazy, but at the same time, you just look back at them and go, well, my God must have had something in plan, because I don't know what it is, and he hasn't revealed it 20 years later.
Right.
But, you know, it really doesn't make sense how all that shook out, man, but at the same time, you know, it is what it is, bro.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, I got to get back to the Battle for Vegas real quick before we let you go. Of course, it's going down on Saturday, Las Vegas Ballpark. It's a fantastic venue. You got a lot of really good teammates. I mean, from Max Crosby to Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, you got Damon Arnett. I mean, the list goes on and on. And of course, team Marcus Allen, you're on the squad as well. Is there one guy in particular that you think is going to really stand out for team Marcus Allen and really help get the Raiders over the top in this one?
Well, look, it has to be Derek Waller. I mean, can you imagine him hitting a ball and running around the bases? I mean, this should be freaky stuff, man. But Josh Jacobs, too, though, because he's low to the ground, man, and mm-hmm. he can turn them corners. So, yeah, this is going to be fun stuff.
Yeah, Marcus said that he thinks he's going to lead off Josh Jacobs, have him lead off as the, you know, the lead off.
Yes, that's smart.
He'll be the Ricky Henderson of the team. All right, Tim, before I let you go, I know that you come through clutch, man. You came through clutch with so many catches throughout the course of your career, of punt returns, everything. I mean, you did it big in college and the NFL. Give me your best. What's up, Raider Nation? This is Hall of Famer Tim Brown. You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920.
What's up, Raider Nation? This is Hall of Famer Tim Brown, and you listen to Raider Nation 920.
There you go. Tell you, bragging rights, I'll tell you, you did better than Marcus Allen did. Marcus had to take two or three takes. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. We appreciate it so much, and we'll see you on Saturday. Good luck at the game.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
So there he goes right there. Touchdown, Tim Brown. Part two of my conversation from Raider Nation Radio 920 on Tuesday. A really fun conversation with Tim. And I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation, it was not easy to get him. There was actually a little bit of a mix-up at the radio station. And as I was standing by waiting for the call, it just wasn't happening. He wasn't calling. And I was thinking, what in the world's going on? And come to find out, his agent or his PR person had actually double-booked him. So at the same time he was supposed to be on with me, he was also supposed to be on with Steve Cofield and company on ESPN Las Vegas, which is a sister station. So I wasn't mad that he was on that station because I want him to be on that station and promote, you know, the event. And also I want the radio station to sound great. But also knowing that I was supposed to have him on at the same time and didn't, it was all of a sudden a big cluster. And so we were trying to get a hold of him. And finally, as I have his contact, I just told the producer, Damon, I said, hey, man, just call him. Just call him and tell him what happened if he answers, and let's just get him on. And so Damon, to his credit, did that. You know, he called him, he answered, and he said, hey, this is what happened. Sorry for the mix-up, but can we just go ahead and knock this interview out? And he said, yeah, let's do it. So shout-out to Tim Brown for being very accommodating, man. He could have been like, nope, been there, done that, I'm done. But he didn't. He really hooked us up and gave us a little bit extra time. So much appreciative for Tim to go out of his way to make sure we were taken care of. So that's all I got for you for segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. And I've been talking about Built Bar for a very long time and all the flavors available right now. Coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. All those flavors are available right now. And as a matter of fact, on Tuesday, they had lemon almond cheesecake. That was one of the limited time flavors. One day only. It was only available on Tuesday, lemon almond cheesecake. So Built Bar does that quite a bit. They'll put out a flavor that's just available for one day. So you got to check the website. You got to check it early and you got to check it often. But either way you look at it, all the bars are really, really good. They're 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. I like to put mine in the fridge, but you don't have to. You can, you know, eat yours right out the box if you want to. You can get a mixed box that'll get you a couple bars of all the different flavors, and you'll be good to go. So no matter what your flavor is or your favorite flavor is, you can get hooked up. So that's how it goes down, man. BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCK15. You'll save 15% off your order when you check out. Again, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCK15. Segment number three, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with JP in Tahoe. We're going to start things off with a little bit of a twist right here. He's calling in to give me some constructive criticism on how I deliver my words on the show, and then also thoughts on COVID-19 and the vaccination. Here he is, JP in Tahoe.
Q, hey, what's up, man? It's JP in Tahoe. Love your show. Really do. But I wanted to actually give you some criticism, constructive criticism, that is. And the first one is, I think when you speak and you say really, really, or very, very, you know, it doesn't hold any more weight than not saying it twice, if that makes sense. So, you know, there's some wordsmiths out there that, you know, I listen to on the radio that are amazing and do not have to, you know, use those terms. And I really think you should listen to Colin Cowherd or a couple others that are just awesome. But anyway, I just think you should look into that. I think it's just, there's no weight when you do that, if that makes sense. And then also, you know, at the end of a couple of your episodes, there you've had a couple of comments about COVID and getting vaxxed and masks and all that stuff. And it's just total constructive criticism. I think you should stay away from any of those comments. I know you're not a doctor. I'm not a doctor, but there's a lot of people that don't believe in it and a lot of people that, you know, don't watch one side of the news. That makes sense. So I think you should, I just think it would be smart if you can just stay away from that subject 100%. Other than that, love your show. I really do.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
There he goes, JP in Tahoe right there, and it sounded like Siri kind of cut him off at the end. And, you know, Siri does that to me every once in a while. But, JP, thank you for your call, man. I do appreciate it, and I appreciate your thoughts and constructive criticism. And the one thing you'll learn about me, if you don't already know, I'm not against constructive criticism. I like it, and I do appreciate your thoughts and you know, your concern and, you know, wanting me to do a little bit of studying and research, and that's good. I'll do that, you know, and I like to study and I like to learn from other people. And, you know, I'm not a finished product. You're absolutely right about that. The one thing I will say is that I'm going to always be me. I'm never going to try to be someone else. I'm never going to try to, you know, be, you know, copy someone else's style or anything. I'm just always going to be me. That's all I know. That's all I've ever done, and that's just who I am. Now, I like I said, we'll do what you said and do a little bit of you know, more researching and you know, trying to pick up a few tips here and there. I don't think anyone should be above that. So thank you for that. Now, as far as COVID-19 and the vaccination goes, you're absolutely right. I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. And I don't try to tell you what to do. I'm never going to come on here and tell you what to do. I'm never going to say you have to get this, that, and the other. And look, I know the vaccination for some reason is such a touchy subject for people. You know, I'm here in Vegas, and what I'm learning from being here for the short time that I've been here is that it's wide open like some old school TV antennas, but there's a lot of people that come in on the daily from all over the world, and some are vaccinated and some aren't. And so the ones that aren't are acting like they are. And what I mean by that is all around the city, all around the area, they're saying businesses, casinos, everything are saying, hey, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. And a lot of people are saying, well, I'm vaccinated, and they're not wearing a mask, but they aren't vaccinated. So look, it's your choice. You could do anything you want to do. I don't care. If you decide you don't want to get vaccinated, great. just wear your mask. Do it for yourself and do it for the people around you. If you don't want to wear your mask, just get vaccinated. That's all I'm saying. You know, and I had to, and I've explained this 1,000 times on this show, I had to make sure that I got vaccinated so I'm allowed to do everything that I want to do, including talk to players, including cover training camp, including being in the studio to do a radio show. I mean, there's a million things that I had to do or I will be doing, and I had to get vaccinated so I can do that, so I can help deliver this show each and every day. So if that makes sense, again, whatever you choose to do with your personal life and your family chooses to do, that's fine. If you don't get vaccinated, then wear your mask. If you do get vaccinated, then maybe you don't have to. Still, I know people that get vaccinated and still wear their mask. Matter of fact, at the radio station, we have to walk around the station with a mask on even though we're vaccinated. So I'm just saying that. You're right, though. I'm not a doctor at all. So, and I don't try to play one. I'm just telling you, if we want to have something that's almost normal and we want to start turning this thing around and getting back to where we were before this whole pandemic thing hit, we have got to put some effort. We've got to do a little bit of effort on our part. That's all I'm saying. So, JP, not trying to be a doctor, not trying to be your doctor. Like you gave me some tips on things that I need to do, I'm giving some tips as well, because I know for us to be able to try to maintain and for us to try to get back to sports and everything that we like to do and love to do, and quite honestly, my job, what is my job and what brings money and brings food to the table for my family, I want to make sure that it all goes off as smoothly as possible. So thank you so much for that call, man. I do appreciate you. Hope you chime back in at some point. Next up is a text from 725 Raider. Hey Q, 725 Raider here. Congrats on a new gig. I also got a new job behind enemy lines in Colorado. Two-part text. Number one, you kind of touched on this already, but who is your least favorite big name player to wear the silver and black? Mine has to be Sapp. I didn't like the signing from the beginning after losing to him in the Super Bowl. Then he came out and said he'll always be a Buck while with the Raiders. Part two, what's going to happen with this show now that you got your new job? I listen to this every morning while walking my dog. Thanks for all that you do for Raider Nation. That's from 725 Raider. Thank you, my man, for the text. I do appreciate that. And part one, who is my least favorite big name player to wear the silver and black? And, you know, Warren Sapp is a really, really good one. That dude obviously was just cashing a check. Another good one would be Randy Moss, even though he's a HOF or a Hall of Famer, similar to Warren Sapp, one of the greatest wide receivers ever play the game. You just could tell that after a little while, especially after the first few games and when he got injured and everything. I mean, he came out and played really well the first year, but the second season, man, he really was just not that guy. And you know, all the time he says he was never a Raider. And I still remember that scene in Mexico City when the Raiders were supposed to play the Patriots, and he was on the set with Charles Woodson. He was just dogging the mess out of the Raiders. So I think that Randy Moss probably has to be right up there with Warren Sapp. But those are two really, really good ones right there. Trying to think if there was anyone else. I'll say D'Angelo Hall. And I like D'Angelo Hall. But remember the Raiders traded for him? And I thought that that was going to be a hell of a 1-2 punch between him and Namdi. And it just didn't work out. And he just never fit with the Raiders. I don't think it was all his fault. And I do like D'Angelo Hall as a player. I just never liked him with the Raiders because it just didn't work out, if that makes sense. So thank you so much for that, 725 Raider. I appreciate you. Next up is a call from Joby One Kenobi. He's calling to talk about the all-time Raider favorite and who he gravitates to and why. Plus, he talks about me landing this amazing job here in Las Vegas. Here he is, Joby One Kenobi.
Joby One Kenobi, Arlington, Texas. Hey, Q, first thing I wanna say is good job, man, on your new job, man. I feel like your success is our success. You know, the story you told about Gruden, and I had a big smile on my face. That was crazy. Like it was happening to me. I'm not going to congratulate you, Q, because I don't believe in congratulating somebody who deserves it. You know, the work you put in, brother, the dedication, everything, man, you deserve it. That's crazy. But you know who I will congratulate? I will congratulate the radio station that hires you. You know, we sit here and we talk about, you know, draft picks and, you know, football all day long, man, and they nailed that pick. They nailed it. Took the best available off the board. Locked them up. So I congratulate the radio station, Q. Not you, brother, because you deserve it. You know, you earned it. You know? Been hearing everybody talk about favorites. You know, mine's Howie Long. You know, and it is generational. It is. it's going to be who you watch the most. Now, and I watched a lot of football since then, but mine's not really long, you know. But that's all I wanted to say, man. Nation, be good, man. Love you guys. Bye.
There he goes right there, Joby One Kenobi, Arlington, Texas. Thank you so much for that call. And, yeah, Howie Long is a great one, one of the greatest to ever do it. He's got a gold jacket for a reason, right? I mean, we've been talking about the Hall of Fame, and I've been talking about the expectations for the Hall of Fame and how excited I am for Coach Flores, for Charles Woodson, for Wayne Mabry. I'm so fired up for all those guys. There are so many Raiders that are in the Hall of Fame, and there's more to come. And Howie Long is one of the best to ever do it. Thank you so much, my man, for that call. Let me go ahead and close out the show with a text from UK Raider Ash. Says, hey Q, UK Raider Ash here. I've been listening to your show for quite a while after hearing you on Silver and Black Today with Scott Goldbranson, but I've never gotten in touch before, so that means he's a new booty. Just want to say a few things. First off, your reporting on the Richard Sherman incident was a great example of why I love your show. Not going for the easy headline, actually thinking a little bit deeper to show some compassion for a guy who's clearly having a tough time. Secondly, I'm so glad you're in Vegas. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this new Raiders defense going into training camp. I say defense rather than offense because last season, all it would have taken to win a lot of the games we lost would have been one big play from the defense. Lastly, I've been a Raider fan since I first started watching the NFL in the early 2000s, but it's been a long road since then with no serious playoff runs or Super Bowls. Rather than be down about it or give up on the team, I think that it'll make the next Super Bowl they do win so much more special. There's nothing better than an underdog victory. Sorry for the long text, but thought it was about time I got in touch. Let's hope Carr can finally get a Lombardi and maybe get some of the naysayers off his back. Ha! Raiders. That's from UK Raider Ash. Thank you so much for that, my man. Appreciate the shout out. And yeah, man, this whole Richard Sherman situation, you know, I've really taken the not backseat to it, but I've just kind of like to observe, and I don't want to rush to judgment. And I know that he's dealing with some things and, you know, doing a little bit more due diligence myself. I realize he's dealt with some things even back all the way back to February, you know, so he's got some things going on. So I think Richard Sherman needs some, I don't want to say just straight compassion. He just needs some help. You know what I mean? And nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we all need a little bit of help. You know, mental health, again, is something that is a major, major deal. And I believe Richard Sherman is dealing with something like that. And thank you again, like I said, for, you know, the shout out for me being here in Vegas. I'm so excited about it. And that defense, that Raiders defense is something I'm very pumped up to see in training camp, how it's going to improve, what Gus Bradley's going to do to make that defense just that much better so it can make those plays, those big plays that was needed in the end of games in 2020 to help the Raiders get over the hump and win a bunch of games. And when Raider Nation gets a shout from the mountaintop that they are Super Bowl champs again, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully, I know I am not alone when I say all of Raider Nation is hoping that that happens sooner rather than later. But thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. So that's all I got time for on today's show. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have more calls and texts throughout that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, more news and notes of the day, and we'll see what else we can kind of get into, what kind of conversations we can have as we are flying through another week here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So until then, Raider Nation, stay safe. Take care of your family. Do what you got to do. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.